Hello, and welcome to Lifetime Uncorked, the podcast where we discuss your favorite made-for-TV movies. Whether you love to hate watch or hate yourself for loving them, pour up a glass of your favorite cocktail and join us. I'm your host, Patrick Serrano, and my guests today are...
I am Drew Current.
Maureen Watson.
And I am Ron Watson.
Hooray!
Yay!
Oh,
we're here,
and the Watsons are here.
Yes, we are.
The old Watsons.
Present.
Yes, my married friends. Not my only married friends, but probably my first married friends, I think.
And we're not boring old married friends.
No, you're fun married friends. You brought your own to-go wine cups today.
We did. Mm-hmm.
Very good. I also might have done their ceremony, Universal Life Church.
Oh, true. Oh, yeah.
Yep. You know about that.
Word up. We're both...
We're both ministers. We're
both Minister,
I chose Reverend.
Yeah, Reverend yeah. Patrick.
Yeah. Yeah, we're pretty into the Universal Life Church. We're devout Universal Life Churchers.
One of my fave churches.
The tax write-offs are amazing.
Yeah, and it's also fake. Kinda.
No, it's not.
It's not
you
fake.
Get a card and it's, you get a certificate.
I said that wrong. It's not fake. It's just not a religion.
That is true. My mom actually said, "Are you guys really married?"
Oh, really?
I'm not quite sure. I go, I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, you
so
are.
So we may technically not be married.
Oh, how long did the certification take, legit. Patrick?
I just applied online. It was so easy.
Yep.
Yeah. I didn't even have to call anybody or talk to anyone at mm-hmm. all.
They're like, "Are you a person?" And you're like, "Uh-huh."
I don't even think you need to be a person. You could just put anything in.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just a website.
Yeah, so you don't even have to be in person.
I would have loved if my dog married me.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That would be great. But it was me, a human.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of humans, we have some humans in these movies we're talking about.
Oh yeah, there
allegedly.
Are
humans in them. Mm-hmm. Today we are talking about Christmas Next Door. We are coming down to the last few movies, guys. We're doing it. It's happening. The movie stars Jesse Metcalf, who you might know from Desperate Housewives, from
John Tucker Must Die is the movie.
With Ashanti, yes. Mm-hmm. And then his co-star in this is Fiona Gubelman.
Didn't you say, Ron, she was in an episode of something?
Her IMDb said she was in an episode of... The League, a show that we both watched.
Oh, yeah.
I don't recall her from it, but
I've seen
every episode.
I don't recall her from this movie, so that's fine.
Very forgettable.
Yeah.
Very forgettable.
Oh, I thought her and her sister were very pretty. They wore a lot of makeup.
Everyone's pretty in these movies.
But
no mm-hmm. one is ugly. Nobody.
Yeah, nobody's ugly.
Were they sisters or lovers?
They were sisters, but let's jump into it. So we have April and Eric and their new neighbors. So they live like two houses away, so they're not actually neighbors.
I got to jump in.
Yeah, did that bother you?
Because the logistics in this movie is a major issue.
Right.
At one point, she says he lives two houses down.
Yes.
Then at one point, he knocks over some decorations in his neighbor's lawn. And she claims they're hers.
Mm-hmm.
He also then walks her across the street at one point.
Oh, right. Yeah. So just inconsistent location or whatever it is.
The cherry on that sundae is they can hear each other through his wall.
Yes. Yeah. That was something weird, too.
We were very confused about that.
Houses?
They're houses.
Like big
separate houses.
Yeah.
Like a suburban neighborhood.
Not row houses or like townhouses or anything like that. It's like little houses on the hillside. Little houses, whatever.
These are just the last one. These are the ones where like the director's just like, huh?
We don't care.
They're like, sir, this is kind of weird. I don't fucking care. Just get the fucking
We literally
done.
Filmed this yesterday.
It makes no sense.
Yeah.
So it is very strange. And even stranger, Eric is like he drives a sports car and he's like a dude, right?
Yeah.
So
he's a total dude, bro.
And I'm glad I have Ron here because Ron is a dude that I know.
Let me jump in. The very first shot is him driving a Corvette, which is a fiberglass sports car.
A red Corvette.
In the middle of winter, though.
Okay.
With the top down?
No, the top was not down.
But his windows were rolled down.
But you do not drive a Corvette in the winter because it's fiberglass. Even the slightest slip and ding into another car ruins it.
Yeah.
So you don't drive that in the winter.
Yeah.
Well,
also, the introduction to him is he's got his window down like catcalling his neighbors, making fun of their Christmas decorations.
But if you're this dude, you fucking ride, you can ride that Corvette anytime you want.
Yes. Yes. So he is like a dude, and they do this whole thing at the top. Usually we get the exposition at the top, right, Drew? So like, instead of that, we get a cut scene, like intercut. The females are decorating or like in a like catalog Christmas thing talking about their exposition. And Eric, the girl's name is April. Eric is with his dude bros, and they're like watching sports, and it's like the most awkward man dialogue because they're like, oh, my wife's cooking a yam. I don't even know what they were saying.
Cooking a yam or whatever.
Well, but they were all so very weird. Excited because clearly he's like the cool single guy that has a really nice house and they could go hang out there. And then they all have like a wife and kids, and they're all like, oh yeah, we come here to drink beer and like have fun and get away from our family.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, this is where we were going to play poker or whatever. Like, so awkward and strange. It was like very heavy handed dialogue, but like trying to show gender roles maybe.
Yeah. Yes. And doing it, they very awkwardly made a misogynist joke about his guacamole.
Oh,
when they said,
okay.
Oh, you're going to make a great housewife one day. As a male who does the cooking in my household.
Good guacamole.
And makes
and
amazing
salsas.
Guacamole.
Really good green salsa.
I was personally offended by this.
I'm
2017, almost 2018. We can make guacamole, men.
Might I
don't
say,
be afraid to make guacamole.
You guys are both really good at snacks. Like for parties, very good. Very good snack cooks.
Thank you, Patrick.
Yes. Buffalo chicken dip. You got all that shit.
Buffalo chicken dip.
You do snacks well.
That's my favorite.
Chips.
Okay.
You bring chips like a motherfucker.
Don't forget the dips.
Chips and dips.
Chips.
I could live on chips and dips.
And chicks.
But, you know, speaking of cooking, Eric is a cookbook writer or some type of writer of like life advice type of thing. Maybe like men's health, but a book.
Yeah. So I think he writes like, as a bachelor, like how to live your life as a bachelor and how great it is to be a bachelor. But then, and he wrote some books, but then he randomly wrote a cookbook.
Yeah.
Like how to cook as a bachelor.
Yeah. The best part of the bachelor cookbook, a little later, spoiler alert, they show you the cover of it and he randomly has a mustache on that cover.
Sure.
Yes, I forgot about that.
And just in general, guys, I had to look up Jesse Metcalf to see how old he is because he's like, over 40. Like, he's playing like these young men.
He looks amazing.
On Desperate Housewives, he was like 30.
Really?
Yeah. Can you
see? I said to Ron, I'm like, he kind of looks old.
He looked like Eddie Munster with his like hair. He had his hair grown back, slicked back. He has like a widow's peak.
Yeah,
like,
he's got that widow's peak.
Eddie Munster all the way. So we talk about women's appearances. We're not discriminating because this man looked like a little plastic surgery had happened. Mm-hmm. Little hair plugs, maybe, or hair dye for
Absolutely.
Sure.
I definitely said several times he has terrible hair.
Horrible. Just shave your head. Like, it would look so great. But, you know, he's trying to do that long slick back thing. Anyways, so April's sister, or in Ron's opinion, lover.
there were just some weird, awkward moments between
the two of them.
The
very early scenes were a little awkward.
I think that might just be bad acting.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're so like,
I think so.
In a Lifetime movie?
The bad
acting. I disagree.
A Hallmark movie.
The bad acting made them look like it were like incestual? Is
no,
that how bad the acting was?
No. I mean, maybe if that's what you're reading, but I didn't get that. I just found them like very,
is there a review that
very
said that
like
they were
shrill
incestual?
And no. So she's like pushing her April to audition for this violin position and role.
Well, apparently they're both in the orchestra or she plays in the orchestra, the sister does, and she wants April to audition to play in the orchestra.
Yeah.
And at one point you see a shot of the New York skyline and then you randomly hear them say the Philharmonic, but then they use different terms later on. So it's all a little jumbled and confusing.
So nothing's really adding up, but basically she wants to audition to play the violin in some orchestra and she can't because she gets the hiccups.
Yeah, so she gets nervous, apparently, and she starts hiccuping while she's auditioning.
And, like, if you have a violin, you have to, like, hold it in your thing, and, like, you're playing, like, the thing. I'm demonstrating with my hands very poorly. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you hiccup, then you might drop your violin, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you could hiccup and still jam out some tunes.
It's not like you're using your breath. It's not like a
hiccup doesn't make you lose control of your entire, like, body, right? I mean, mine doesn't.
I've never played a violin, so I don't know.
I do question that writing approach where they're just like, the hiccup is going to mess up you playing the violin. It doesn't affect your hands.
Maybe she hiccups very strongly.
Well, we don't ever see her actually hiccup, so that's...
No, that's true, because I doubt the actress could convincingly hiccup on command. I don't think she could do it.
That's a very good point.
She'd probably be like, hiccup?
Yeah, that's what...
Hiccup! Hiccup! Like, whatever the fuck... What was her name? Oh, no, Fiona. We want you to hiccup, not say hiccup.
Fiona Goobleman.
She's like, I'm trying. Hiccup! No, okay. So she works in this fancy restaurant, and here's where they're going to meet Drew. Okay. So he, Eric, is... with his Canadian redheaded girlfriend. Sure. And they're like, you know, just like talking shit about April and how noisy of a neighbor she is. And she overhears them. So she's like playing the violin
like at people's tables.
So she goes like right up to their table and plays the violin like right in their face. And she's like, can you hear that? I bet you could. I bet you could hear that.
And she she works there? She's like a server?
Paid entertainment.
Yeah, so the story is her sister's boyfriend owns the restaurant.
You already lost me.
Yeah. Her sister's boyfriend owns the restaurant. But it's like a fancy restaurant. And it's like, why do you have violin players? And then the sister's playing the piano and she's very weird.
So she's like super sassy on that.
Yeah, my notes say she should have been fired about 10 minutes into that.
I wrote about Bridget, the girlfriend. I said, thirsty bitch. I like her.
Oh, I liked her too. And I actually looked her up on Instagram because I was like, I just want to see what she's doing. She only has like 300 followers. Like, aww. I have more followers than her, and she's in a movie.
Yeah, I liked her.
So everyone go follow Bridget.
I'm going to.
I don't know what her name is.
Do you know her name?
No.
Nope.
Her character's name was Bridget.
Her character's name was Bridget, and she was very good in this movie. Because she played like the character that's like so over kids and like does not care.
Yeah. I wrote... She's me. Bridget is me.
Well, you have red hair. You could be a Canadian actress.
I know.
Actress,
I could totally be a Canadian
redheaded friend, which is a trope in these. So moving along, I'm just going to jump around here. So there's like a snowstorm that happens. And oh, right. Because there's a whole side plot where with the kids. Or it's not even a side plot. It's a huge plot point. But I didn't fucking care.
Yeah, we haven't got to the plot yet.
So Eric has a sister. Her name's Anna, and she's stuck in Norway with her husband.
With her super Canadian husband.
Yes.
Yeah, the husband's accent was so jarring, it pulled me right out of the movie.
I think he was actually wearing, like, one of those Canadian, like, outfits with, like, the tall boots and, like, the red vest thing and, like, a big hat.
Is that a Mountie?
They're called Mounties.
Oh, there you go. I knew somebody would know.
He was a Mountie.
He was a Mountie, but not really. Anyway, so they can't come home, so Eric's mom is like, what am I going to do to make my son be more responsible? I'm going to pretend to have the flu and pass these kids off to him. So she like calls him. She's like, I'm sick. can you watch these kids?
And she literally fake coughs like that.
Yeah.
Like 10 times.
Oh, I just nailed my Hallmark audition.
Yeah, nailed it.
So then he has to take the kids and they're like freaking out that his house isn't decorated. And he's like, well, okay, what do you want to do? They're like, well, let's go get a tree. So
and just to jump in real quick, he is firmly anti-Christmas for some very personal reasons we'll hear about momentarily.
Well, I bet his parents died.
Initially, like, his mom kept saying, oh, you're jinxed yes. for Christmas. That's why you hate Christmas. So the first thing I say to Ron, I'm like, oh my God, I bet you he killed his dad or his dad died.
Right.
On Christmas.
Yeah.
One, there is no mention of the dad ever. But,
no.
But two, I wrote down major plot twist because the mom just randomly drops Christmas jinx.
Yeah. And
enticing.
And this is when you're thinking, like, all right, here we go. Here we're going to get all this shit about Christmas. Or like in Gremlins, when the spoiler alert, when the girl's like, my dad died in the chimney.
Yeah. Oh,
that's like my favorite twist. I was like, yes, give me some of that. Let's get weird. No.
I was hoping for a dark twist.
Nothing. Nothing like that.
But, and I will just say the first. So there were a couple of reasons, but the first one was his car was stolen. Right? Like on Christmas Eve when he was shopping.
So with his first book, he bought he just says like a fancy sports car. And it was stolen.
Oh, God.
On Christmas Eve.
Christmas
Eve? When he was shopping for presents. So that's the first jinx.
So he hates Christmas because of that.
Well, maybe he shouldn't have waited to the last minute to do the shopping. Just saying.
Speaking of shopping, they go shopping because Eric only buys gift cards as gifts. So he's like a person who gives gift cards.
Makes sense in 2017.
Cool. I mean, who buys gift cards? Nobody. But so the kids are like,
to places and buys
their gift card.
Oh, you do?
Like, we buy it online.
Yeah, you get it online, or you go to the one stop shop fucking disc where he's like, well,
right,
I'm going to go get an Olive Garden. I got to go to Olive Garden to get that.
You like, no, you don't. No. You can go to like Mariano's or Jewel and get
Or Target.
In fact, go to an Olive Garden and
are they paying for the sponsorship?
No, but if anybody would like to sponsor the podcast, please hit us up at what's our email?
Oh, you can just hit me up at drew@universehead.com.
Pay us money. Anyway, so the kids are like, let's go shopping because we need to buy gifts, or we need like glitter and paper because we make our own gifts.
Yes, they made their own gifts.
Which is terrible. I don't want that. I don't want a gift card, and I don't want something you made with glitter and construction paper.
Well, and I feel like they come from a pretty rich family. Like the parents are in Norway like for a conference and... I don't know. So really,
His sister.
So his sister. So I'm kind of like, why are they making gifts?
So
I mean,
many people.
Come on.
Very strange. So they go shopping, and then of course, who's there? April's there, and she like helps him like find a gift. And does she like? Is this? They're blurring
the
together
necklace.
For me. But yeah, the necklace. So she's like, I love this necklace. And he's like, cool.
I'll buy it for my mom.
Yeah, yeah. So she says, buy it for your mother. That would be great.
And then he said, but here, try it on. And then she tries it on and he's like, oh, it looks so beautiful on you. And she's like, oh, yeah, it's beautiful. And so then he's like, well, maybe you should buy it for yourself. And he goes, she's like, no, I've bought myself too many things already.
Yeah, and then he awkwardly says, well, maybe that someone special could buy it for you.
Yeah, who's not him? Someone else. You know,
that's what not me. Did you think
it's
you,
a lot?
Oh, no.
It's a lot
else.
Of awkward. Yeah.
I'm dating that redhead over there. Who's by the way, she the Canadian redhead girlfriend is now
Bridget.
In line with his niece and nephew, waiting for them to sit on Santa's lap.
Yeah, she hates the kids, but then she's stuck with the kids while he's having a romantic like tryst with April.
And this whole thing is taking place in like a outside little market. So they're At no point are they further than, 100 feet away from each other?
Mm-hmm. So then they go ice skating, and April admits that she's read his books, and she, knows who he is. And then she gives him, advice for, what he could do to be a better writer, which all writers love advice like that, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And then, he says he hates Christmas again.
I think this is the big reveal.
Yeah.
So the second reason he did say he fell off a ladder, and that was the other jinx.
Yeah, yeah. A little earlier he did mention he fell off a ladder while decorating a Christmas tree. Wow. And he doesn't say if he broke a leg, but he hurt himself.
Yes.
I'm using air quotes here.
Yeah.
Yes. So now the big reveal that he's telling April, because she's like, why do you hate Christmas so much? I just don't understand. She's so upset about it. Because by the way, she loves Christmas and her house is crazy decorated and
of course.
Like she's obsessed.
Yep. Let me just interject. She loves Christmas so much. Her tree looks like shit, for the record.
Oh.
So she likes it so much that her tree looks like shit?
Ron was very angry
about
that.
I don't get it.
Very angry.
The math doesn't add up, Drew.
But
you can
her tree.
Like a lot of things.
He basically said, if she loves Christmas that much, she should have had a better tree.
She loved Christmas so much that her tree was a fucking mess.
Yes. So what's the big reveal?
Okay, so the big reveal is...
I have one big reveal right now.
Uh-oh.
About Bridget, who she is.
Oh, yeah. Who's Bridget?
Let's hear that.
Spoiler alert.
Tara Yelland.
Tara Yelland. She Everyone go follow Good Witch. Tara Yelland. Yeah, Good Witch. That's a Hallmark show.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. And but she's also in this kind of fucked up show on Netflix called Small Crimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it a new show?
Yep.
Oh, cool. Ooh. I will check that out because it. I need to watch all the crimes, and I really liked her in this movie.
And she, this one, this lady?
Yeah.
Old Tara?
Yeah.
Yeah, follow her. Also, Tara, you're way more attractive than the main character.
Yeah, she was super hot.
Yes, it's not even close.
Like, by... I would say like another 10 points.
Yeah. Exponentially.
And her Instagram's pretty good. Like she like has good pics. Like you can tell like she's a cool chick. Like she's not like
I'm in love with her already.
Maybe she'll get a movie next year.
Yeah.
I'm
rooting for her.
She can hate kids on that one and then they'll like turn it around. Anyways, so April gets courage from Eric because he's like, "Hey Siri, how do you get over stage fright?" And Siri's like,
"Wait, we skipped the big reveal."
Oh, we didn't even do that part yet?
No.
No, okay. I did my Maureen, big do reveal. The
big
okay.
reveal. Big we have reveal. To. So big reveal, the reason Eric hates Christmas so much is that he was dating a girl that he was madly in love with, and on Christmas Eve he proposed and she said no because she was in love with someone else.
Oh, bummer. Wah,
wah. And that's all we get. Yeah. She was in love with someone else.
That's it.
Oh, okay.
But, you know.
It's all you need, really, right?
Guys, with this movie, that's the most you could ask for.
Note to self, don't ever propose on Christmas Eve. I'm no. sorry. No. It's the worst.
Just, you know, drink eggnog or whatever.
No major holidays. Don't ever do that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, because then you have to celebrate your anniversary, your engagement. Do you guys celebrate an engagement anniversary?
No.
Oh, okay, I didn't know if that was a thing. Someone does, I'm sure.
Definitely not.
But I don't think it's a thing.
I just had to think for a second. I don't remember when we got engaged.
You're weird if you do.
Well, great. It wasn't on Christmas Eve. I know that.
No, it wasn't.
So yeah, he tells her to like audition, and she goes to the audition, and she like nails it, and then they go
and she played a Christmas song for her audition.
Oh, and it is totally what is that sister movie where the sister plays the cello all the time? You know,
I do not know.
No, don't know what you're talking about.
The Cello Sisters.
The Cello Sisters. It's really good. Whatever it is, one. But like you know, when you're like madly playing a string instrument and your hair is like flying all over the place, and it's just like that's basically what she did.
Wait, could I just say something? So while he was telling her about what she should do to like not be nervous and stop the hiccups,
yes,
Ron's like, "You need to pause this," and I'm like, "Why?" He goes, "All right, if she was really auditioning for the orchestra, she wouldn't even like be in front of an audience." Like, and he gave this whole explanation of like what you do when you audition for an orchestra. And I'm like, have you auditioned for an orchestra? I'm
supposedly,
so
when you audition for an orchestra, you're yeah. behind a curtain and they cannot see you.
Oh, yeah, I've heard
and,
that.
And you walk out on a carpet so they cannot hear your footsteps because they want to be completely unbiased. They just want to hear your performance.
Mm-hmm.
This is my understanding from the couple of music classes I took in college. But
okay. I've heard this too, so I don't think it's not true.
Right.
I didn't this say is totally I didn't fact. Believe him. It just was really random seems and it was funny of, that he's like, you need to pause the movie because I need to tell you this.
Well, so if she's auditioning. So pretend you have to audition just as the same that you would have to in an acting situation.
Mm-hmm.
Even that, though, you're not in front of like a crowd.
It was three people.
Which show in her audition. It's three people.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So in a room.
It was normal.
That's about 12 by 12.
So they just, the writer was like, I don't know, just they are in front of
this
judges.
Literally was like, cool. The writer just like, okay, just get to the beats. Just get to the thing. So she auditions and then they go caroling and they sing Joy to the World, our favorite song of the season. Because Hallmark has the license for that song and no other songs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Eric's like kind of having fun. And then, like, they go to drop off the kids or something. And, like, the Bridget girl's there.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like breaking up, right? But then they have like an amicable hug. Right?
And a kiss on the cheek. He kisses her on the cheek.
And okay. That's all that April sees. She happens to look at the kiss on the cheek and she's like,
she's so mad. She storms off and starts giving him the cold shoulder.
And he had just invited her back to his house to watch a movie.
Yeah, we all know what that means.
And then Bridget was on
the doorstep.
Oh, right.
To break up with him, but
you're never going to just watch a movie, okay? Word to the wise.
You're going to also chill.
Don't tell me we're going to watch First Wives Club and then not let me watch First Wives Club.
Yeah, there was a line where...
I'm assuming that's what
they
were watching.
Our protagonist, Eric, says, maybe we could stay distracted together, which I wrote down as just code for sex.
It is, because they can't say sex on Hallmark.
No.
Not allowed. So he's like all confused as to why she's upset, and like his new manuscript gets accepted and he's all excited.
Right, so he changes his writing approach from this super bachelor bro writing.
Like April suggested.
And now he's writing about the bachelor who wants more. He wants to fall in love.
He wants a wife and kids.
Have family and kids.
And I wrote down the title. The title of the book is called Uncle Christmas.
Sounds a bit rapey.
That's what I said. I said creepy.
There's a second part. Uncle Christmas, How Christmas Heals the Heart.
That's Uncle it. Christmas?
Uncle Christmas.
Yeah.
It could be.
So remember, the whole plot of this movie turns on his niece and nephew melting the ice around his heart.
Yeah, pretty much. And like, you know, they're grown-ass kids. Yeah. Like, it took him a while.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, they're also way too old to still believe in Santa. But that's another point.
Santa is real.
How old are they?
Maybe like 7, 8.
I fucking still did when I was 7.
So no, they're definitely like... 11, 10.
No.
They shouldn't have still believed in Santa Claus.
I would still believe in Santa Claus.
I think I believed in Santa until probably like 11.
Way too long.
I'm sorry, guys.
Well, and then I had to keep it going for my brothers. Joe, Santa is real.
I still believe in Santa Claus.
But I would be like saying shit. I'm like, you hear that on the roof? Oh, you hear that little brother? I hear Santa. He's coming. You better go to bed.
You better go to bed, dude.
Yeah.
What accent was that you just got?
That's my...
he's from Baltimore. Remember.
I finished my coffee. So now I'm doing accents. Anyways.
You're doing it.
So then the whole family gets together.
The sister and brother-in-law get home and they surprise him. Like, oh my God, we sure end up at your house. And he had already made an entire turkey.
Well, because he has that cookbook.
Just for him and the two kids.
Yes, he made point to mention he has a cookbook that none of his family have read.
Right. Well, you know, his family hates him. Because his mom pulled this whole scheme on him, and then she's like, "Oh, I felt bad like the third day, but I just kept going with it."
So I needed you to be responsible and to grow up.
Yes, the mom was, for lack of a better term, shady.
She was shady, and she was like, "No, didn't like her." And then his whole family's like, "Oh, April's so great. You really like her." And it's like the equivalent of like Sex and the City when Miranda tells Big to like, go get our girl.
Yes.
It was so like that.
And they're like, text her or go to her house. He's like, she's not home. She's working. I know where she is.
Yes. So
that's a direct quote from the dialogue. He goes, she's not home. She's working.
So where do they go? Because I didn't write it down.
The restaurant. Because she was playing the violin.
Yes.
At the restaurant.
And so he has the necklace, right?
Yes.
Yes, he does have the necklace.
Because
my notes are
back
very minimal.
For some reason, April was helping the niece and nephew wrap presents while Eric was meeting with his agent.
Oh, yeah. And then... they say, oh, yeah, that necklace is for Bridget. Or no, April says, oh, I think that, I'm sure that necklace is for Bridget. And they're like,
what the
no,
fuck
I think
is
it's
happening?
For you.
What the fuck is happening?
Yeah, there's a rant. The necklace that she tried on.
Why is the necklace a thing?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Because she tried it on earlier.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
that
and
I
she thought, yeah, and she I, thought, yeah. and she thought he it bought it for really the redhead. And yeah.
It also looks like it costs about $12.
Yes. So where. That's she loves the necklace, and he's like, you know, maybe we're meant to be together. And she says, you don't even write romance novels. And he's like, I'd rather live in one. They kiss. The end.
Wait, and then it went to commercial. But then I was like, oh, there has to be like something else. So like I fast forward, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh wait, there's more. And Ron's like no, that's a new movie. I'm like, why did it just end like that? It was so random. And
if the Hallmark Cinematic Universe
had
gotta be a real
after credit scenes, like like in Marvel. That'd be hilarious.
But there weren't even credits. No, it was a very random quick kiss, and then it just cut to commercial, and then the next scene was a new movie.
Five people made this movie. They don't have credits.
Yeah, the credits aren't even worth mentioning. Yeah. So, guys, on the podcast, we...
Except for Tara's name.
Tara. Follow Tara. We, on the podcast, rate these on a pour it up or put a cork in it. What are we going to do? We'll start with Ron.
I gotta say, pour it up.
And Born why?
Up. Okay.
Any reason?
Because it spoke to right directly to my heart. It was just a beautiful love story.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. It was just fun entertainment. It was meaningless, but it was kind of funny in a very ironic way, I guess you'd say. But I enjoyed it.
Good.
Tight.
Mel?
I will also pour it up.
Wow. Okay. Wonderful.
I actually thought for being a Hallmark Christmas movie, it was actually kind of good. I mean, it had a decent actor. I mean, the acting was a little cheesy, but it was a pretty good story.
Okay.
So, yeah.
You know, I'm blind. I'll blind pour it up because of Tara. Bridget.
You should watch it.
I think Drew would love it.
This is one you should watch.
No.
Yes. No.
Oh, no. Drew I'm not can't watch do that. That. I'm not
going to. You're not allowed.
Not allowed. I am going to put a cork in it. I could tell you guys like this movie how much you were talking about it and all your notes. Like, guys, they have pages of notes. And I have like maybe five paragraphs of notes. And I write reviews about them.
I take a lot of notes.
I love it. I love that you guys came prepared. I'm putting a cork in it because, no, the gender roles thing turned me off like right at the top. And then there was no getting me back because it was just like very slop together. Very sloppy Hallmark slop.
Yeah, I mean, I pour it up only because of Bridget.
Yes.
In there.
To be fair, Bridget is a very good looking woman.
And she did a good job.
Yeah.
She played her role very well.
But it sounds...
I wrote a lot of notes about her.
I would put a cork in it also.
Yes.
Because everything you guys said confused the shit out of me.
Yeah.
It was kind of all over.
Drew's face the whole time is like, wait, I can't even make fun of it. No, you can't.
It's hard to even make fun of that.
But because it wasn't like a typical like Hallmark movie where it was so bad like you could make fun of it. It was kind of just like a normal bad acting movie.
Just kind of a romantic.
Yeah, it seemed like a normal movie that took place at Christmas.
It's like a bad rom-com. And by the way, every time there was like a punchline, April's character would like have this really terrible laugh at it.
Yeah.
And I counted 7 times where there was a punchline and she just kind of, ha 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 ha.
It was
very terribly. It sounded just like that.
Right. Well, you know, she can't hiccup on cue. How could she laugh on cue? So that wraps up our conversation about Christmas Next Door. But before we go, we have our favorite segment of this week and every week. What you say, Candace Cameron Bray? Yes, What You Say, Candace Cameron Bure. We have a clip here. 7 days of staying stylish has gone into 2 weeks. And,
thank God.
Yeah, she doesn't know how to count. She was like, she lost count. She has no idea what's going on, but she's trying. So I have a clip to play for you here. And we'll talk about it after. It's a little longer. I might just stop it in the middle once you get the gist, but we'll see.
7 days of staying stylish. Are we on day 5 or day 4?
No, Cameron.
Anyway, I wanted to show you what I do for some of my quiet time, whether that's in the morning or in the evening or just a pocket throughout the day. So I like reading devotionals. I have many that are old, new, favorites.
Very fashionable.
No.
I like
showing all the books.
Here's a newer journal that I just...
This is a newer one for me.
So I'm not even halfway through. But yeah, I started this one in the beginning of the year. But I really like journaling. I journaled last night. I do it a lot of times late in the evening. And don't forget that journaling is also a form of prayer. So you can write everything you want.
Oh, of course,
you got to
throw in God.
You can write down your prayer requests. I like going back through them over the years and checking them off when God has answered those. And it's amazing to see how long you might have prayed for something. I can go back and sometimes I have prayers that he answered 10 years later. It's pretty amazing. So anyway, that's part of what staying stylish is all about to me. Got to take care of this first.
So she wraps up, but she forgets like.
So that's it for today's staying stylish tips.
So I'm gonna
play hope that you'll grab the book because it's so much more than just
pushing her book, promoting her book,
and beauty products. There's lots of stuff that gets right in here to the heart and the soul and the spirit, and that's the most important. Guys, I like didn't even share the most important one. I just went back and watched all of the little videos. It's this book. It's that holy Bible. That's the most important one.
The Bible. Guys,
of course
forgot,
it's the most important
she
one.
She forgot the Bible.
It's very fashionable.
Well, stylish. Like, she's talking about, it's like, well, it's 7 days of being stylish.
In the beginning of the stylish, she said, not all of them are going to be beauty tips.
Oh, okay.
They're going to be from the inside out.
Oh, sure. Okay.
But what's hilarious is she goes through all these journals and like she plugs her book. And then at the very end, she's like, guys.
Oopsie.
And it wasn't like right after. It was like, you know, a while after she's like
basically I watched all my videos and I was like, oh, crap. I forgot that one.
Oh, whoops. The Bible, though.
Yes, the Bible.
Bible.
Yeah, so, you know, self-promotion first, Bible second. That's Candace Cameron Bray, guys. That's where she's coming from. Because we all know she was not raised to be very religious. She found God later in life. Not before finding herself.
Is that after she found the hockey player money, or can you clear that up for me?
I love how she like she doesn't. She said like when a prayer is answered 10 years.
Ten years later, you're like, her prayer was
what?
Answered.
What kind of God would let that happen?
I mean, you know, and she's probably praying for something like really strange, like, you know, to be 10 pounds thinner
like,
or whatever.
Blue eyes.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I don't know.
I want to lose 15 pounds.
Yes.
And I finally got my prayer answered 10 years later.
There you go.
I lost 15 pounds and I got blue eyes.
Wow. So that wraps up our discussion about Christmas Next Door. Thank you, Ronimo, for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you, listeners, for checking back in with Lifetime in Court. We watch these movies so you don't have to, but if you do, I'd love to hear from you. You can follow me on social media at Patrick Miguel and the podcast at Lifetime in Court. Where can we follow you guys on social media? Or do you have a social media you'd care to plug?
Or do you even care?
Now's your time.
Go ahead.
I don't give a shit. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, you should. Your Twitter is fun. Oh, so yeah. I'm at Smitty Watson on both Instagram and Twitter. But I'll warn you, I only post pictures of my dog and like alcohol.
Yeah, that's fine.
That sounds great.
And I am on Twitter, r_Watsonian, but it's just pictures of my dog and talking shit about Michigan State basketball and football.
Oh, cool. Sports.
Okay. Lots of sports stuff.
I am Drew, but with pants on Instagram. I don't care about Twitter at
all.
No,
Twitter sucks.
And that I post... really mean things about my cat.
There you go.
So
cats and
dogs. That's what I do.
But yes, check in with Lifetime in Court on the website, lifetimeincourt.com, or drunk dial us 872-267-4117 and share your thoughts. Don't forget to read and review us on iTunes. Okay, bye.
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 Bye.